So we've been talking about his bodidus. His bodidus lihit boded means to be alone. Isolated, on your own, not surrounded by people, not surrounded by phones, not surrounded by anything, just to find time to be alone. The purpose of his bodidus, we said, was to go to a deeper place within yourself. Go to a deeper place within yourself. Which means you're becoming more and more alone in yourself. Yeah. All the voices in the psyche and the superficial levels of your being, you're even going deeper and deeper. And the deeper you go into yourself, the calmer you are. You're not treading water and you're not so reactive. And you start watching yourself and you start hearing things and you're just living on a much, much, much higher level of consciousness. Now, I've never tried any drugs. But I heard, why do you laugh when I say that? So I've heard sometimes if you get stoned, let's say you got stoned now. You're in yeshiva, let's say, imagine. You laughed a bit too hard then. No, let's say really, and you're in the dorms and you smoke a bit of weed and you think no one knows, but you walk into the yeshiva and you know, and no one else knows, you're just a little bit, not there, you know? It just feels a bit, and it's your little kind of secret bit. You're on a different plane of consciousness and awareness. Now, if you're not going to get paranoid, and you're actually just going to be quite cool, and you're just going to enjoy it, and you just do it, and you'll have conversations with people, and you'll kind of see yourself speaking to that person. Do you know that feeling that people have told me about, so I understand really well? That feeling. So that's where you're meant to be living. That's the level you're meant to be living on, without smoking anything though. You're meant to be living on more of a soul, calm place, just a little bit detached. This is what it really is. It's being a little bit detached from this crazy reality. This is why I tell people often that we should read the first chapter of Masilat Yesharim many, many times. Just the first chapter of Masilat Yesharim, because the first chapter of Masilat Yesharim teaches us that Olam Hazeh is a pruzdor. This world is a corridor. It's a corridor. It's not the real, real, real world. And we often say this, that after we eat bread, we bench and we say, She'amalais hayinu kecholmim. At the end of days, we'll realize that we were dreaming. We're going to wake up. We're going to wake up to higher levels of consciousness. But we want to try and do that now. We want to not... We don't need to wait for Mashiach to come and we don't need to die. We need or smoke anything. We need to try and be walking around just on literally a different level of consciousness where I'm not so caught up in the world. So this is what we're trying to do, Hisbaididus. Hisbaididus. So we said there's internal, there's external Hisbaididus, which means literally going and finding time to be alone, which nowadays is very hard, especially if you live in the old city. So you're going to have to, I was about to say like 3 o'clock in the morning and things like that, but it's probably packed here. Anyway. So you've got to find a place. No one's there. You've got to find a place. You've got to be alone. So that's external. And then there's internal Hisbaididus, which we said you could be in the middle of Times Square, but still have this being separate. So now we're going to move on to the next stage. What was the purpose of all of this isolation and calming ourselves? It's really to reveal our soul, to live from a soul space, a calm space. Yes.
I believe in God, but I don't really believe in the afterlife theory part of it.
Wow, great. Okay. So we'll give classes on that too, and we can discuss it. So, if you believe in God, we're going to be okay for today's class. So, the purpose of his bodhidus is to try and reveal your soul, the deepest part of yourself, your real essence. But that's not the goal. That's not the goal. Revealing the soul is not the goal. Why are we revealing the soul? Is in order to reveal God. To have a relationship with God. Here, now, in this world. Whether or not there's a world to come. To have a relationship with God in this world. Now, since Rabbi Nachman, basically, when you say the word Hisbaididus, everyone thinks that means to talk to God. And it is, but that's a much later stage. You have to have gone through all these other stages. Real Hisbaididus is when you've come to a place of depth within yourself, and then you can speak to Hashem from that place. You can be with Hashem. So real being alone, really being alone, is to be alone with Hashem. is Hashem there. Because Buddhist monks, by the way, they're very, very, very good at being alone. Very good at being alone. Sit in caves their whole life and sit in temples and completely, they're very good at hisbodidus. That's why Buddha was called Buddha. It comes from lihit bodid. Whoa. So Buddha was alone. But he wasn't alone with Hashem. He didn't believe in Hashem. So what we want to try and start doing is when we're alone, we're not just alone, but we feel that we're alone with Hashem. Very important. Now, I'm taking most people believe that there's a divine conscious infinite being who's keeping our heart beatings right now. How many of us really ever tangibly feel that? We often speak about this. Who's closer to you, me or Hashem?
In terms of what?
Oh, anything, everything. Hashem's closer to you in terms of everything. Physically, who's physically closer to you? Who do you feel, who do you experience as closer to you?
Right now, yes.
Yeah, I love you. You are very close. It's a bit scary, I'm going to move back. But, really, we don't experience Hashem as close to us. Why? Because you cannot experience Hashem through your body. You can't experience Hashem through your five senses, sight and smell and taste and hearing and touch. You can only fully actually experience Hashem through your soul. So therefore you have to reveal your soul in order to reveal Hashem, to be there. That's what we're trying to do. So, there's a few things we need to do. Speaking to Hashem. Now this is what tefillah is. There are really, what are the three parts of prayer?
Praise, request, thanks.
Praise, request, thanks. Psh, look at you, being in yeshiva. Praise, request, and thanks. So there's a way of building a relationship with someone. When I speak to my wife, I praise her and I thank her and I request for things. That's how we have a good relationship. The purpose of prayer, the purpose of tefillah, is to bind ourselves. The word tefillah actually means to bind, to tie, to fill in. Kind of is the same language. So we're really trying to have a relationship with Hashem. So how do you have a relationship? You speak to them. Speak to them. Praise them. And obviously we say, why does God need me to praise Him? Doesn't. I need to praise Hashem so I live in a world of wonder. See, a world, it's unbelievable. The world is Mashiva Ruach Amrita Gesha. Has everyone been freaking out every day since we've been starting Mashiva Ruach Amrita Gesha? Mm-hmm. Mashiva, we're saying now in praying Hashem, you blow the wind and you bring down the rain. You blow the wind, and which means, by the way, a real conscious Jew never says it's raining. It's raining. Do you say that ever? Have you ever said that? One day when it's like the other, when you rain, do you go, oh, hey, it's raining here. You ever say that? Or it's really windy today. Have you ever said that?
Always.
Really?
Yeah,
sure. It's not true. Because it's not true. It's not raining. It's not windy. Hashem is blowing the wind. And Hashem is bringing down the rain.
It's more the rain. Hashem blowing the wind is...
No, but it's raining. It's just, look, there's this random thing of nature. It's just, oh, wow, it's raining today. That's not true. You got to go out and be like, you got to call your mom and say, hey, she said, hi, how's it going in Israel? And you say, Hashem's bringing down the rain.
Yeah, but you say,
and she'll be like, get out of there now. Let Brain Moshe go. Get him out of there. Okay, your mom is going to like paratroop in out the, get him out of there. But for yourself, when you walk outside and it's windy, don't say it's windy. Say, whoa, Hashem's man. Wow. Or even talk to Hashem. Wow, Hashem, you're blowing it. And then you can say, please, Hashem, stop blowing it so much. Or, please, Hashem, I'm getting wet. But it's a major shift of consciousness. Things don't just happen. You think things just happen?
You say that everything, because I'm not walking. Hashem is making me walk.
There you go.
Yeah. 100%.
Hashem
gave
me the
ability of you you're playing my game. Today is Avraham Shimshon Elimelech's birthday.
Right,
4 years ago, he was born on Hey Cheshvan.
Rav, I just don't want you to forget. You told me that you tell him happy birthday for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't want him to know it's his birthday.
Okay,
oh well.
You
know what? His birthday won't be the same without that. So fine. So Avraham Shimshon Elimelech is born 3 months early. He's born at 6 months. It's very bad. It's a bad situation. This is the most intense day of my life, by the way. The most intense day of my 4 years ago today. More intense than my black belt test on Jeju Island. More intense than the highest bungee jump in the world. More intense than the 7 day fast in it. More. Is like this kid suddenly basically comes racing past me in an incubator, this big, like that big, tiny, red. And it's like, that's not a baby, that's like a fetus, that's not meant to come. Babies aren't meant to come out after 6 months, by the way. Just so you know that. It's not okay. It's not meant to. Whizzed past me into like the operating room thing, and they said, you can't come in. And like I had to wait for half an hour, and they said, come in now, you can see your baby. I walked in, I've got to show you a picture, I've got a picture somewhere. Respirator, pipes, thing up his nose, like incubator, like drips in his hand, like it was like mazel tov. That's not mazel tov at all. That's not mazel, and it's not dove. That's mazel bad. So I was like, wow. So I sat looking at this baby and his chest was just going up and down. Now its lungs weren't developed enough to breathe and its brain wasn't developed enough to tell its lungs to breathe. So it wasn't breathing. The baby wasn't breathing. The baby was being breathed. By that machine. Forcing its lungs open. If there was a power cut at that point, like, oh! And then I realized, if you're not consciously breathing, which we should do and we've spoken about, are you breathing? Are you breathing now? Are you breathing? Are you breathing?
We're all breathing.
No, you're not. Not how about, what's this? Are you beating your heart?
Am I personally? Who am I?
Wow. You've been in yeshiva too long, man. Let's say you are you for now.
You're an alien.
G, you are you.
You are you.
G, you are you. Guru.
Oh, I'm a guru.
A guru says to someone, G, you are you. Okay, I'm going to ask someone else. Are you beating your heart at the moment? Are you beating your heart?
No.
No, but it is beating, no? So your heart is being beaten. You're not beating your heart. You're not consciously beating. But something's beating your heart. There's an electric current in your heart. Where's that electric current coming from? What's the source of that? You are being... you are being beaten. So you are being breathed. You're on a divine respirator right now. So if you could just turn your attention. Let's not do it now. Oh, we could do it now. Turn your attention. Let's do it. Come on, sit up straight. Come on. Loosen your neck and shoulders. Get in your chair. Good. Gently, you don't need your back.
Okay.
I know it's a safety thing.
It is very safe.
I know.
It's comfortable.
Okay. Close your eyes. Now, usually when you meditate, you control your breath coming in and going out, coming in and going out, breathe deeply. Today, we're not going to do that. I just want you to try and watch yourself being breathed. Don't control your breath at all. Don't hold your breath. And just feel your breath coming in and going out as if you're on a Hashem incubator. Respirator. Now you need to understand that every breath is life. If God forbid you breathed out and then you didn't breathe in again, you would not be here. Or if you breathed in and you didn't breathe out, that would be the end. So every in-breath and every out-breath is a continuation of your very life force. Your neshima, your breath, is your neshama. So we're going to do 30 seconds of realizing. You can even maybe breathe out and hold your breath a little bit until you don't feel you can hold it anymore, and then breathe in and just feel life gushing back into your system. Okay. Come back, children. Now imagine you did that just for 1 minute before Mincha. And then you started speaking to Hashem from that place. You wouldn't have that much to say anymore. You'd just be like, however, his Baididus with Hashem, we used to have a give and take relationship. You know, Hashem, I need this. Hashem, I'll praise you. Or Hashem, I need this and that. But sometimes there's just being together. Sometimes when you go on a date, you don't say anything. It's a terrible day. But sometimes once you know them very well, you go and you just sit together and you watch the sunset without speaking. So that's a very deep connection as well. So even deeper than praise, request and thanks is real hisbeididus, which is either just trying to experience Hashem, experience being alone together, or just to talk about loving things. I know you love me, Hashem. I know you love me, Hashem. I love you, Hashem. I know. So sometimes when I speak to my wife, I don't praise her, and I don't thank her, and I don't request for anything. I just tell her that I love her. So that's a very... Many people think, what's hisbeididus? Hashem, I need this, and I need this. That's a more external layer of hisbeididus. There's something called, we speak about it a lot, Ahavasha teluya badava and ahavasha eno teluya badava. Ahavasha teluya badava is conditional love, which we also should do. It's called hisbaininus, hitbaninut, which means contemplation. Think about, and we're going to talk about this now, probably, if we have time, that everything comes from Hashem. And Hashem created trees and mountains and seas if you looked at us from outer space, you couldn't see us because we're 7 billion times smaller than a grain of sand. Yeah, so there's a... I love Hashem. I love my wife so much because I think about everything she does for me, and I think about how great she is, and how much I respect her, and how talented she is, and how pretty she is. So I love my wife because of that. And that's great. That's a wonderful, deep love. But I also love my wife, not because of all of that. I just love my wife because she's my wife. I have an intrinsic connection, especially with kids. Kids is the ultimate level of ahavasha eino teluya badava. You love your kids not because they do anything good or bad. You just love your kids, hopefully. Yeah.
Can conditional love lead to unconditional love?
I think so. I think it goes both ways. I got to a point once I met my wife, and I was like, I know this is my wife. It was after about 12 minutes.
I'm not joking.
I'd been on dates with 7 girls since I got religious. Each one of them within about a minute, I was like, that's not my wife. And then you have to go through the whole rest of the day. I actually met this girl, and I was like, that's not my wife. And then so I said to her, because I knew that I wasn't going to see her again, I said, I just want to be honest with you, none of my rabbis think I'm ready to get married. And then by the end of the date, she said to me, "I just want you to know, I thought it was so honest and vulnerable of you to tell me that your rabbis aren't ready for you to get married. I think that's such a good quality in a man." Not seeing you again. However, when I met my wife after about 12 minutes, I was like, "That's my wife. I know that's my wife."
What happened to the first 11?
So, well,
the rest of the days you just had within a minute. So, what took 11 minutes?
Well, we had to get to where we were going. I'd say it was in about 3 minutes of sitting down opposite each other in that little cafe outside the city. Now, by the way, at that point where I knew that she was my wife, whatever she would have told me then, like, "I'm a mass murderer, drug addict," like, anything she could have told me, it wouldn't have changed. I would have just been like, "Come on, Hashem, really? Really? That's my... Why would you give me a wife like that?" And I mean, like, because that's what I need, whatever, but I knew. So there's a love. The Pirkei Avot says, "Ahava shetuluya b'dava, batel dava batela ahava." With conditional love, if that thing goes away, then the love goes away. So if I only love my wife because she's pretty and she cooks for me, if she stops being pretty and she starts cooking me, I'll stop loving. That's why everyone's getting divorced. Because they only like them because they make you feel good. And once they stop making you feel good, so you get rid of it. But ahava she'eino tuluya, there's nothing my children could ever do to make me stop loving them. Yeah.
Wouldn't there have to be like something to start off that you love them for? Like,
yeah, so...
You love them because they're your kid, like still there's... Like an initial...
Good, so you...
They came out of
it. Ain't no Tuluya Badaba, can't start with Tuluya Badaba. In fact, the Rambam says, how do you create Ahavat Hashem? By Hitpaninut. By thinking, and everything comes from Hashem.
Is there a way it won't start with that?
Pardon?
I don't see a way how it would not start with it.
Well, you've got a very extreme definition of... You're saying even your love of your child is Tuluya Badaba because you love them because they're your child. So I hear that, but that's it. That's just the basis. So I love my wife because she's my wife. So we're saying the same thing. There's a basis. You've got to know Hashem exists to love Hashem. Now, it's much easier to love your children than it is to love Hashem. Much easier, because I can see my children. It's hard to love something you can't see. But your ain on Teluya Badava means your neshama mamish loves Hashem. Your neshama... All it wants is yearning to go back to Hashem. So we've said the hisbaididus is to get to your neshama. So once you hit your neshama, the love is there. You don't even need to create the love. That is your natural state of being. We're just so disconnected from our natural state of being that we love chicken wings more than Hashem. Because you can bite into them.
Would we be as aware as Adam was if he never ate from the fruit? Would we be as aware of God as Adam was?
We will be. But that's where we're going. Yeah.
Did your wife know just as quickly?
No, she's still deciding. 13 years and 3 kids later, she's like, "Are you sure this?" I'm like, "I'm pretty sure." No, the Gemara says, I believe, our sages say that the man knows first.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's a missing part of himself. It's a missing part of himself. It's a part of himself, so he's like, "Oh, I recognize that. That's part of me."
As opposed to the woman.
Yeah, the woman is the part of the man. The woman came from the man. So, "Oh, that's the part I..." So the man knows first. But then when the woman commits, then she's like in, and the man's like, "Well, I'm not sure." Yeah? Yeah?
Can you say she's 100% supposed to be
right? Pardon? I know my wife's my wife, no doubt.
What?
No
doubt.
What?
How come no doubt?
Because we have this exactly the same anniversary. That's Hashkacha practice, my friend. Mamish, exactly the same anniversary.
And your kids have the same birthday as
children. What? My kids, my wife's my wife.
No. Your kids and your wife's kids have the same birthday too.
Exactly. Oh, fine. Not all of them, but...
Both from
Okay, Fine. Well, we haven't got time to go into this, but it's going to get deeper. You're going to see what the river says.
Did you know what city you were going to live in before
the letter? Yeah. Well, Israel.